and welcome to Turkish TV Time. Today we're talking about Ethos or Bir Başkadır, episode 5. We have taken a little bit of a break here, so forgive us if we're rusty. And also, I have to immediately call out Sophia, who at 8 p.m. on a Saturday is presumably asleep and has completely slept through our meeting to do this podcast. So please send all of your laugh emojis to her on Twitter or whatever.
Whatever it's called now.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. The X. On the X.
The X.
I am not drinking any tea. How about you?
I have a sobering glass of ice water. Not that I need to sober up from anything, but I'm going to pretend like I was doing something fun on a Saturday night other than this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Unlike Sophia, who is asleep, we're doing a podcast, so we're winning at the social life game. Okay, so now I'm going to take us through what happened in this episode, which was really tough for me to watch. So I may have missed some stuff because it was really dark. Okay. So we're at the funeral for Hayrun Nisa's mom and Hoca's wife, who I think is Medine, maybe, or something like that.
Something like that. No, it wasn't that. Hold on. I'll keep going. I'll find it.
And it's just so sad. It's horrible. And then we see that Yasin very awkwardly and obviously recognizes the Hoca's daughter as his dog bite girl that he saved. And so he like gives her a really long, really awkward look, which of course makes Meryem curious because she's a very curious person. So then we see our actress friend on a pier, but it zooms out and you realize we're actually watching on the TV in Meryem's house. So that was kind of a fun play from the editors. But yes, her name, the mom's name is Mesude, RIP to her. Mm-hmm. Thanks. She died of hypothermia in that stupid ass van because
trip. I think she had a heart attack. I don't think it was.
He said the doctor said it was hypothermia. I mean, maybe the doctor's a quack, but
I don't know. She was like having chest pains though. The episode, many complicating factors. Let's say, but yeah, the van didn't help.
The van did not help. I'm against the van. Okay, so then. We have Yasin being maybe his most annoying self. I mean, I don't. Yeah,
as I said, multiple temper tantrums.
We took a little break, but I think this might be his worst showing yet. So they're watching the TV show, and yes, he does like actual bad things to his family in this episode, but his worst trait is not shutting up while watching a TV show. Mm. He's literally talking the entire time, trying to recognize the actor. It's super obnoxious.
I agree. That was his worst moment.
Right? It was so unforgivable.
Because the other stuff, not to interrupt you too much, but the other stuff I view more as like bickering that, I mean, especially between him and Maya is like constant. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, you do not interrupt this TV show like this. This is very rude. Use your phone.
Just stream of consciousness talking the whole time. It's wild. Okay, and then Meryem is sitting on the couch stewing about how her brother was looking at Hayrun Nisa. I don't know what she's thinking about it, but she's just like kind of curious about it. Asks him about it. It, of course, goes nowhere. They argue. It's annoying. He orders her to make tea and pack bags for all of them. And she's like, wait, what? And he says, oh yeah, we're gonna go to Ruhiye's village tomorrow, like she wanted. And this is just so out of the blue. So we'll discuss it in our later sections, but it was unclear to me if this was like his reaction to finding out about Hayrun Nisa for some reason. I don't really know how they're connected, but I don't know. It was weird.
That's an interesting thought, yeah.
Okay, then we go to Hayrun Nisa, who is sad and guilty, and Hoca is sad, and it's sad. Then we go to, what is the therapist's name that's not Gubin?
Defne? Is it Defne?
No.
Hold on. I think that's the actress's name, sorry. is defne. Yeah, Peri.
Peri. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So we meet Peri's mom and dad. Her dad is just like reading some Facebook article, and her mom is reading a book and she's grumpy, and she is the mom from Masum, I think, the actress.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So she has reason to be grumpy because a lot of bad shit happened to her in that show. And I don't know, I guess we were just supposed to take that she's from like a wealthy but somewhat cold family. I don't know what we were supposed to take from that, but.
Well, I think before Peter had mentioned that her family was like really intolerant of like conservative people or people wearing like headscarves and stuff. So I think we were just like getting introduced to the lovely people that are her parents.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her mom made a comment about the.
Like immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. Girl with the headscarf on TV. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're back to Yasin. And he and Maryam have another loud and unnecessary conversation where she's like, why are we going to the village all of a sudden? Because I don't really understand the timeline of this show, but it seems like she asked to go to the village like a month ago and now they're going.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a month, but yeah, there's definitely been a break.
Yeah, between. It wasn't like yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's a completely valid thing for Maryam to ask, like, why are we going tomorrow all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. But he completely refuses to answer. And he's like, what kind of person are you that you don't want to go and hang out with her family? You're a terrible person. How could we be from the same parents? haven't you thought about me lately and how hard it is for me? Ugh, he's awful. And
did you mention the scene in the kitchen? Or has that not happened yet in the recap? Like when he's like in the kitchen and he's really...
Yeah, this is that scene.
This is that scene? Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because then he tears up, which I think is like...
Oh, that was at the end.
Was it? No, it was like when she puts her hand on his shoulder and he tears up.
Yeah, that's after they come back from the road trip.
Oh, okay. I thought that was before. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
No,
okay.
This is the first kitchen fight scene. Okay. Okay, so then... we have the sad and angsty Yasin and Ruhiye go to bed scene. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he tells her that they're going to the village. And I had trouble with this. I guess she was happy at first and then she like was sad again is how I interpreted it.
Yeah. I mean, her emotions are not straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why her husband's emotions tend to be constantly negative.
No, listen, I understand that Yasin is having the hardest time of anybody, but I still think it's obnoxious.
Yeah.
So then we switch to Hayrunnisa and I guess her friends, and they're at like the, I don't know the right word, but like the wake after basically, the funeral.
Yeah, they're eating a hedva, which is a like, I don't know what any of these words are in English. Hold on.
Halva is just halva, I think.
Yeah, it is. But okay, semolina is the word I was looking for. But this is specifically irmik or semolina halva. And it's like, you could see it on the plate. It's like golden and you can eat it with a spoon. But it's not like the, I don't know, the cliche kind of nougat-y, you know, pistachio-y kind. But anyway, it's super typical to make a gigantic vat of it and then serve it right after a burial. So that's what they're doing. And it's like women and men are separate. So that's why they're all in a room together.
Yeah. And she's sad and just kind of like rude to her friends, but it's completely understandable. And that's that. And then there's a really long musical interlude where people are putting on their shoes and leaving the house. So that was...
I like that cinematography, though, because it showed kind of how not rich everyone is coming out, like, based on the shoes. They're all, like, working people. I don't know. I found that powerful, personally.
I liked how it was, like, everybody's leaving and then she's just left in the doorway and closes the door. And it's like, uh-oh, she's alone.
Yeah.
Okay, then we finally meet her friend from the club, who is a psychopath. So everything starts out fine. Her friend actually says like some lovely things about how to remember her mother, and she seems like really nice and sympathetic. And then we get into the club incident, and she, this girl who I don't know that we know her name, or maybe we've heard it once.
Yeah, I don't know it.
She has a bruise from when Yasin found them in the club, and this bruise has made her a serial killer. And so she's like, I'm going to ruin his life. And also she's going to ruin his sister's life. And she has this whole plan. And she's like, this is Game of Thrones season 9, bitch. And then we cut. So she really seemed nice at the beginning. And then it just all went way downhill. Then we go to the car ride where we're going with Yasin and Maryam and Ruhye and the kids to Ruhye's village. And this was horrible. I could barely watch this. She basically tries to bludgeon herself to death on the car window while they're all in the car together, and her kids are in there, and it's just awful. And finally, Yasin pulls over and gets out of the car, and Maryam tries to start a dance party, which like was a pretty good idea, I think, to lighten the tension. But of course, it doesn't work because her family has never heard of fun. And
well said.
And I think it's right after that, right? They just decide, Yasin's like, okay, we're going home. We're turning around and going home.
Yeah. But it's like also nighttime when he decides to turn around. So I think he actually drove for a bit and then like,
and like stewed about it. And
yeah.
Then...
Yeah. Which is so typical. All he does is stew. And that's why, like, other than a single tear, all he can do is scream. That healthy masculinity.
Yes.
Once again.
Yeah. She meant toxic. Okay. So then they go back and they have their second kitchen scene, which is what, as he was talking about earlier. And so Yasin is nasty to Maryam yet again. And finally she cries, which I was like, if I were her, I would have been crying way before this with how he's been treating her. And he realizes that he's been terrible to her and kind of apologizes, but it's like a pretty lame apology. But I guess for somebody like him, it's a lot. And so she forgives him. She puts her hand on his shoulder and he's like silently crying. So that was pretty sweet. And then he said he's done with Ruhye, or done with trying to help his family. Unclear. He's done. And then we flash to Hoja, who is sad and crying. And then that's the end of the episode. So it was a real downer.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But on the upside, we didn't see our least favorite character, the man whore. What's his name?
Oh, is his name Sinan Selim?
I think so. Hold on. Cast of Ethos. I keep opening. Yeah, Sinan is right. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't see him. So that was a plus.
Yeah, that was a big plus.
We barely saw Payday because she's also like not. Yeah, I also like don't really want to see her.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge Gulbin fan, and we didn't see her either. So
yeah, or her lovely family.
Oh, her sister. Oh, yeah. Happy to have an episode without that lady.
Yes, yes. And the girlfriend of Hayri Nisa's name is Burcu, which I found after probably unnecessarily complicated Googling, because if you just search cast of Ethos, she like comes up with the list. I just like went an extremely roundabout way.
Yes, Burcu is a burgeoning psychopath, so that's fun.
Are we transitioning into the gossip section? Because I'm ready to.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to the gossip slash banter slash waking Sophia up slash buying her an alarm clock section.
I have ice water we could use to help us.
Ooh, ice water. Yes, if only she didn't live in another continent. We could put ice water on her.
Dang it. One thing about Burcu and Hayri Nisa I wanted to say, since we were just talking about what her name is, and like made me think of their relationship. I think if I didn't misunderstand, Burcu said that they had an easier time like being together in Konya. So I'm wondering if they're like back in their, like, if first of all, if both of them are back because like Burcu also lives in this neighborhood normally, but they're like studying in Konya, and maybe it's like a school break of some kind that they're on, because I feel like we've seen Hayri Nisa with like a book bag, so I don't think she's like not studying currently. But then I don't really know what Konya has to do with anything, if they aren't like there most of the time together. Also, Konya's like incredibly conservative, so it's an interesting statement for her to say. But also in Turkey, I've observed that when certain areas like neighborhoods or cities are so conservative, like as a same-sex couple, people can get away with holding hands, just because like it would literally cross no one's mind that that would be the nature of the touch. So they could very well just be blending in that way. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting comment. I don't necessarily know that the show is later gonna like do anything with that, like it might have just been a throwaway line, but anyway,
yeah, I
want to know the origins more.
I noticed that too, and I was wondering like if they took like a weekend trip to Konya or something like that, but I don't know if girls in that like socioeconomic
probably not
place would be taking weekend trips, so
no,
I don't, yeah, like I don't
there would
know.
Have to be like, I mean, like the dad would have to like come along,
right,
or the mom,
so yeah, I don't know. And yeah, if we hadn't seen her carrying book bags, I would say, oh, maybe they're like sharing a dorm in Konya or something, but
yeah. It seems like she's also still going to school in Istanbul, but where, like, then the Konya thing doesn't make sense, so yeah. I don't know.
But she was in her room after the funeral, so clearly
they know each other. Right, and it wasn't like her like other, well, unless she introduced her as just a friend from like university,
because
the other two were probably like neighborhood girls.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, she's a mystery.
Yeah,
she's scary, very scary.
The actress is really good though. When her like glares are very frightening.
Yeah, she was really good. I mean, I feel like it's not that easy to be like a teenage girl and be frightening, but
yeah. Also, she's 36 years old, so not a teenager.
What?
Yeah. I guess at the time of filming, like 32, but
oh my goodness. So. Yeah, growing up watching all those CW shows where the 30-year-old actors were in high school really messed me up for life on that.
Yeah, I feel like I still, like, sometimes if I'm, like, not really, like, using all of my brain cells and I'll hear someone say that so-and-so is, like, now 25, I'll be like, they're so old. And I'm like, wait, I'm much older than that.
Yeah. Okay, what is up with the Yasin Hayri Nisa Meryem
thing? I don't know. I mean, I don't think he has a thing for her.
That would be so weird.
Yeah, I never got that sense from their first scene. I think he was more looking at her because he didn't know who she was before. Like, he probably just thought she was some random girl. And then, like, he respects the Hoca so much. When he connected those dots, I think that's why he was staring in kind of amazement. Maybe. I don't think he's in love with her or anything like that.
No. I hope not. I think that would be terrible.
The only other thing is, like, what if he connected the dots with the club incident?
That's what I was wondering about.
Yeah, but I don't know. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't share anything with anyone.
Right.
So impossible to know right now, at least.
And if that were true, would that have in any way motivated him to take Ruhiye to her village? Like, I don't understand.
No, I think the Ruhiye village thing, I don't know. My theory of it is that initially, if I'm not mistaken, he very strongly said yes. Well, he said yes, but then he asked why.
Right, and he was
And then when she wouldn't say,
right,
he got all crazy about it. And then, like, he dropped it. But then I feel like just because he stews, like, all he does is stew.
Yeah.
My thought is, and, like, I don't know, maybe it did have a connection with the funeral that I'm completely missing, but, or maybe the fact that, like, the lady just like died, maybe that in him was like, oh, like we shouldn't like delay this or whatever if she wants to go. But then, like, he's always like in a very flawed way, like seeking like constant like appreciation and like gratitude, and when he doesn't get it, his like unhealthy little brain is like volcano.
Yeah.
So much therapy is needed, and
oh,
there's
my
only
God.
one person going to therapy, and she like basically treats it as like a social call.
Right. And if she would just move out of this freaking house, she wouldn't need any therapy. She'd be fine.
She would absolutely be fine. Like, I don't know. My mom and I, as we were watching this episode, were talking about just how, like, and like you were saying, like, if a male relative of mine, or like, I think pretty much, you know, most people watching the show, if like started screaming at you like that or berating you for everything, you'd like break down. But like, she just like fires back.
Yeah. It
so,
doesn't bother her, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I don't even see it as like, I don't know, like abuse of her. I see it kind of as like, this is how they've probably always been this way of like the
yeah.
bickering and like she shoots back, he shoots back. Like, it's not, I don't think it's like the model of a good sibling relationship necessarily, but I also think it's probably their normal.
Yeah. It doesn't like, I don't worry that he's like getting her down, but I do just like, she has nothing outside of this really messed up house. Like,
Yes.
she needs
Yes.
to get out of there. She's
Yeah,
like such
totally.
a
She's
cool
very smart.
Character.
Yeah.
And oh yeah. Bad. What else we got? We got the road trip.
Oh, that was not good. That was really hard to watch. I agree.
Yeah. That was really horrible to watch.
Yeah, it kind of shows the magnitude of, I mean, we haven't like been told like why, again, we don't know why the village is like a place she wants to go and why she has such strong feelings on both ends of the spectrum about it, because she really wanted to go and then she really didn't want to, and then
Yeah,
the
yeah.
car, she clearly really didn't want to.
Yeah.
So like whatever's there is obviously like extremely influential in whatever she's, you know, her mega depression that she has. And then like it just shows like how severe her illness is, because she's willing to risk her entire family's life,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
Or like not even willing. Willing is not even the right word, but like that does not even cross her mind, because she's like having some kind of a meltdown. So it was really sad. And yeah, I definitely looked away too.
Yeah, it was horrible. Hard to watch. I think it's really interesting. Like, I feel like whenever I see these kinds of families or these kinds of people depicted, it's always like the community is always extremely strong and like people are super nosy, but like people are there to help. And this family is like so isolated.
Yeah.
Like they're connected to the Hoja, but like they didn't want to leave the kids with somebody, you know,
no.
Like they don't have anybody to do that. It's weird.
Yeah.
That they're like part of this community, but they're not.
It's weird and it's not. So I would say it's a little bit weird in the sense that a lot of those neighborhoods that are sort of like, I mean, I don't necessarily know that this neighborhood is 100% like what I'm about to describe, but basically there's a lot of improvised housing on the outskirts of Istanbul, and this neighborhood may or may not be characterized as one having improvised housing, but in the event that it does, let's say, a lot of those types of neighborhoods were built by people who migrated to Istanbul from the same village. So naturally, like exactly what you were saying, there would be a tight-knit community because everyone knows everyone and they all kind of moved collectively. There's also neighborhoods like that where, or even if it's not an improvised housing neighborhood, it's just like on the outskirts and cheaper to live, it would be getting tons of migrants from everywhere. So that's my guess, is that they're the only people from their village in this particular neighborhood. And so them not having connections is not that surprising to me in that sense. But we also don't really know how long it's been since they came. So again, like you would think they would try to make friends, but I guess if you think about it, Yasin like works night shifts and probably sleeps during the day. Wife is like cripplingly ill with depression, and like he probably doesn't want people interacting or knowing that about them. So anyway, it's weird for sure, but and also really sad. But I can also see a few reasons for why that would be the case. But Yeah, it certainly doesn't help their situation of having like no one to lean on.
No. It is. I think it's, yeah, it's interesting, and it's unusual for like what you see of this kind of village, or not village, but like this kind of life depicted. Mm-hmm. I feel like most of the women are home all the time. So the fact that Maryam doesn't have neighbor friends and like,
yeah, true.
Old ladies coming over and cooking together, you know, yep. I don't know. It's weird. Yep. Okay. I feel like our meeting with Perry's parents was just like a check-in, like, don't forget about her.
Yeah.
She's going to come in here somewhere. But yeah, they seem obnoxious, but fine.
Yeah. I know that, like, obviously you recognize the actress playing the mom. And she's like very well known in Turkey, so I don't remember exactly their subplot, but pretty sure they will be important for the plot moving forward, but I have honestly no recollection, so good, it's like I'm watching it for the first time in that
sense. That's great. Okay, anything else about Borju? We know that I'm guessing that she was the one that put the brick through their window.
Yeah, me too. The bruise is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I remember him, like, I guess, like, shoving them out, but not, like, anything like that.
Yeah, or, like, why wouldn't Hayri Nisa then also be bruised? Because he, like, grabbed both of them and shoved them. So, like, you would think that, or maybe she's a hemophiliac. She comes from royal blood.
New plot.
I also assumed from her like thing, her whole like little monologue about grief and stuff, that she's orphaned, or like at least her mom is dead. Because she was like, I understand you the best, which I thought was like her referring to the fact that they're together, but I think it was more because she's like experienced what she's experiencing before. So I don't know, just the way she talked about it made it sound like she had actually lost a mom. Or maybe both parents. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I was just
she killed them.
Yeah, honestly, maybe she did. Oh, I was like, oh yay, like a beautiful, finally, like a healthy friendship on screen. Yeah. And then she just went off the deep end.
No, she was like, I'm gonna take care of this guy. Eliminate. Very alarming. It's like Yasin, like, this is exactly what Yasin needed, was, like, a crazed teenager coming after him.
Maybe it'll have the opposite effect, and it will help him somehow. Maybe. And it'll be a really happy ending.
He is definitely dead meat, though, if he has any feelings for Hayri Nisa, and Burcu, like, picks up on that.
That's when she finds out about that.
Immediate death. Yeah.
He's getting a knife in the back in the neck.
Yes. And a brick for good measure, because she's just got a bunch of bricks to launch.
A brick with a message just left nearby. Oh, God. Anything else for this section?
You mentioned at the end of your recap, like, Hoca crying. I thought that was really poignant, because he was probably, he was on his prayer mat when he fell asleep, so he was probably praying for his dead wife, and he fell asleep because he's been, like, I'm assuming just not sleeping for like 48 hours since it happened. And then like, as soon as he wakes up and he like, I think anyone who's grieving has had that like moment of like, when you first wake up, you like don't really like everyone in general, like when you first wake up, you don't really know what's going on for like a split second. And then you like remember your life. And so like, he had that like on screen, and then he remembered what had most recently happened and just cried. And it's also not very typical to see a depiction of, like, they're a conservative family, but he, like, genuinely, like, really deeply loves her. And it's, like, not, like, I mean, they might have very well, like, been the product of an arranged marriage, or any, you know, whatever assumptions that people might make about their background. But none of that matters. It was just, like, a guy who loved his wife, and he's, like, devastated. So I thought that was really powerful. And as soon as that scene happened, I was like, oh, this is gonna be the last thing, because they love to end episodes like this. They get you right at the end. But hopefully the next episode has more levity than this one. This one only had like the dancing on the side of the highway scene, which was still sad because the mom was like suicidal.
Oh yeah, I need more of just like Miriam gossiping about TV shows.
Yes.
If you can give me like 5 minutes of that, then I can handle the rest of the episode.
Or like the yoga actress, like
Yeah, she's
lady.
great.
Just I don't know, being sassy at Pedro or something.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Okay, so now we're going to move on into not the history section. Sophia's not here. We're going to move. Histress has abandoned us for sleep.
Sleep.
We assume. Now we're going to move on into our favorite and final section, which is What the Fuck, Sultan of Success, and Fatma's Hit List. What the fucks?
I mean, I think we always mention Yasin's behavior, but he like just really needs to stop with the like fake macho thing and holding everything in.
Yeah, and ordering people around, dude. Yeah. Like clearly you ordering people around has not led to a good outcome.
Like, also, like your sister like doesn't really listen to you either. Like it's right. Not like it's working. Your wife certainly doesn't listen to you because she's so ill.
It's not yeah. working the way yeah. we're doing it. We need yeah. to change it up, bro.
All that happens is like he just gets infuriated and lashes out more, and then yeah. still nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like waiting for him to like collapse and like utter frustration one day.
Yeah, I also have the way Yasin talks to Maryam, and then I have when they're on the highway and that horrible scene is happening and he just doesn't pull the car over for like
yeah.
fucking 10 minutes. He's just like squealing all over the place. Like, just stop the car.
That was
put your
yes.
hazards on. The yes. end.
I agree.
That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. I guess to Borju's introductory monologue was pretty what the fuck.
Yeah, it was, it seems out of character. Oh, yes, it is. As soon as she switched to her like psychopathic planning monologue.
Oh man.
Also, WTF to hire Nisa for just like staring wide eyed at her that entire time. Like, can you like please have an opinion? Why are you so meek to everybody? Like,
I mean, if she's like close with Borju, which she clearly is, then she should be able to handle this behavior better. This should not be so shocking to her.
Well, and I don't even know if it's shocking. She's so helpless to everyone. Like, I don't know. I don't quite remember the character arc, but I need her to have a backbone by the end of the show.
Yeah,
because she doesn't.
Saying some words. I think she actually didn't speak this whole episode.
Possibly. Or other than saying like dad or something, you know,
yeah.
at the end. Yeah.
Oh yeah. She said she was guilty and sad.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. She probably thinks her relationship is like inviting some kind of divine
That's
retribution.
The implication I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
yeah.
is horrible.
That was really horrible. Yeah.
Okay. Who is our Sultan of Success?
There were no winners this episode. Well, I guess Mayim is always a Sultan of Success because she's just herself, no matter what life throws at her.
And she actually got her brother to somewhat apologize to her, so that's pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah, he like showed a single other emotion besides frustration and rage. Depth. He had some real depth this episode.
Oh my god. He doesn't even like interact with the like children. Like these
no.
children are just like silent in the back. Like at least you can just ignore the wife and have some fun with the children if you really wanted to. But no.
No, the kids, poor children. Yeah, the daughter seems like she's trying to like get through life and like try like behave normally, but the poor son is like not, you know, nonverbal and like totally not interested in anything. Which,
yeah,
can you blame him?
No, definitely no blame. Well, yeah. Fatma's hit list, and why is it Borju?
It's Borju for public safety reasons. She's simply too dangerous to be out and about.
Yeah, she should be kept away from bricks at all times.
This is hard when you like are surrounded by bricks. <'Cause>... other than her though, yeah, I think her. I don't know. I feel like the girls in the bedroom like during the wake were kind of annoying, but
they were annoying.
I don't think that's like, I don't think we can unleash Fatma on them for that unless they
get,
come
like,
back.
quite enough screen time for me to be like, oh, you deserve to die.
Yeah. Yeah, Bujin did though. We're very worried about everyone's safety with her.
Oh God.
We're doing it for the people, not
right.
Because
It's not for
we
us.
No, nothing. We don't pretend we're God on this podcast or anything like that.
All right then. Well, congratulations to Mariam, our always Sultan of Success. We hope you get absolutely out of that house and get a life of your own because you deserve it. Watch out to Borju because Fatma is coming after you with a brick breaker. I don't know, but she's coming after you. There's a lot of shit in your village she could kill you with. And yeah, watch out. Thank you all so much for listening. Please send snoozing emojis to Sophia. And we will be back next time talking about episode 6.